E-tidings, Cosmos. Good morning, 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Tá míle fáilte rót anseo. I am your host, Richard McSweeney. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. Observed two mothers in a supermarket. One is in her early 30s or so, and she has with her a daughter and a son, ages about 7 to 9. They are happy being out and about together and appear to be very busy. She has a long list of items written out, and she is reading from it and delegating to her children to go about and locate some of the items and bring them back, show them to her, and then put them in the trolley. In the meantime, she has also been selecting some items, and when they return with theirs, she shows them to them. The second mother is in her mid-20s or so, and she is with a toddler, a girl, and she has her sitting in the child's seat in the trolley. They are happy and they are constantly chatting away to each other. They are really taking their time, and every few steps the mother picks something off a shelf and gives it to her daughter to hold a moment, and then after the little girl says something about it or calls out its name, the mother places it in the trolley. Two mothers with two different approaches, but both having the participation of their children in the experience be the key ingredient. How very admirable and beautiful. And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, "With observing," he said, "contented and excited surely, as the days are long, be hens pecking and scratching away the ground in the presence of a handsome, caring rooster, and he most definitely must be feeling proud and grateful to be at home in such a fine, receptive company." In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from Prince Hamlet, Tao Te Ching, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from Prince Hamlet. "Now must your conscience my acquaintance seal, and you must put me in your heart for friend, since you have heard, and with a knowing ear, that he which had your noble father slain pursued my life. It well appears, but tell me, why you proceeded not against these feasts, so criminal and so capital in nature, as by your safety, wisdom, all things, as you mainly were stirred up?" "Oh, for two special reasons, which may to you perhaps seem much unsinued, but yet to me they are strong. The queen, his mother, lives almost by his looks, and for myself, my virtue or my plague, be either of which, she's so conjunctive to my life and soul, that, as the star moves not but in his sphere, I could not but by her. The other motive, why to a public count I might not go, is the great love the general gender bear him, who, dipping all his faults in their affection, would, like the spring that turned wood to stone, convert his gives to graces, so that my arrows, too slightly timbered for so loud a wind, would have reverted to my bow again, and not where I had aimed them. And so have I a noble father lost, a sister driven into desperate terms, whose word I, if praises may go back again, stood challenger on mount of all the age for her perfections. But my revenge will come. Break not your sleeps for that. You must not think that we are made of stuff so flat and dull that we can let our beard be shook with danger and think it pastime. You shortly shall hear more. I loved your father, and we love ourselves, and that, I hope, will teach you to imagine. How now, what news? Letters, my lord, from Hamlet. This to your majesty, this to the queen.
From Hamlet? Who brought them?
Sailors, my lord, they say. I saw them not. They were given me by Claudio. He received them of him that brought them.
Laertes, you shall hear them. Leave us.
High and mighty, you shall know I am set naked on your kingdom. Tomorrow shall I beg leave to see your kingly eyes, when I shall, for first asking your pardon thereunto, recount the occasion of my sudden and more strange return.
Hamlet.
What should this mean? Are all the rest come back? Or is it some abuse, and no such thing?
Know you the hand?
'Tis Hamlet's character.
Naked, and in a postscript here he says, alone. Can you advise me?
I am lost in it, my lord, but let him come. It warms the very sickness in my heart, that I shall live and tell to his teeth, thus didst thou.
If it be so, Laertes, as how should it be so? How otherwise? Will you be ruled by me?
Aye, my lord.
So you will not overrule me to a peace?
To thine own peace.
If he be now returned as checking at his voyage, and that he means no more to undertake it, I will work him to an exploit, now ripe in my device, under the which he shall not choose but fall. And for his debt to no wind of blame shall breed, but even his mother shall uncharge the practice and call it accident.
My lord, I will be ruled, the rather if you could devise it so that I might be the organ.
It falls right. You have been talked of since you travel much, and that in Hamlet's hearing, for a quality wherein they say you shine. Your sum of parts did not together pluck such envy from him as did that one, and that in my regard of the unworthiest siege.
What part is that, my lord?
A very riband in the cap of youth, yet needful too, for youth no less becomes the light and careless livery that it wears than settled age, his sables and his weeds importing health and graveness.
2 months since, here was a gentleman of Normandy. I've seen him myself, and served against the French, and they can well on horseback, but this gallant had witchcraft in it. He grew unto his seat, and so such wondrous doing brought his horse, as he had been incorpsed and demi-natured with the brave beast, so far he toppled my thought, that I, in forgery of shapes and tricks, come short of what he did.
Tao Te Ching, Installment 1. I will be using Shifu Huang's translation throughout. The sage of old spoke, saying, "The Tao is that on which one can always tread. That on which one cannot always tread is not the Tao. And fame is that of which one can always remember. That of which one cannot always remember is not fame. All things are without names prior to the formation of heaven and earth. And names are brought out to classify various things. Since there is no name in the very beginning, why should one care about fame? Hence, those who are constantly free of desire of fame shall see the Tao's subtle secret. Those who bear desire shall see the end lying in front of them. Both two types of men ferment their thinking in the same place, yet they will experience different fates. Both their fates shall be up to heaven. Beyond our heaven, there are other heavens. Whoever knows this shall find the gate of the Tao."
This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. nor three-star visitor spoke to me, saying, "Immaculate Vera, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn?"
There once was in ages of long ago, yet of not so long ago as to be way ancient, a landry bordering the landries of Mayo, Sligo, Leitrim, and Donegal. It extended from the most westerly point of Mayo, north about in a jagged arch, round to the most northerly point of Donegal. It was said to have been a beautiful place, blessed with hills and valleys and with forests, waterfalls, rivers, lakes and streams, and grasses of the finest quality. And the people living there were as good-natured, jovial, and noble as anyone in any of the landries throughout the island. In a word, they were people of Eire to the core. Then one day, a most unusual thing happened, off the most westerly coast of the landry, in that an animal of some sorts came ashore onto a strand. Although it looked like some kind of crustacean, it did more by far resemble a spider. It was about 3 yards in width, by about 10 in length, and about 5 in height. Yet, it wasn't a spider either. People who were there on the cliffs at the time were terrified of it, but then in a moment it literally vanished right before their eyes. They were amazed and asked one to another, what had just happened? And they relayed the happening to the king and queen of the landry. And that seemingly was the end of it, but for the weaving of it into stories and legends. But in fact, that wasn't the end of it, for the very next day curious things began to happen throughout the landry. First it was the trees, in that every last one of them withered and crumbled to dust. All the waterfalls, streams, lakes, and rivers dried up, and the grasses turned to sand. Then, within a few days, there appeared small cracks in the ground all along the landry boundary with Mayo, Sligo, Leitrim, and Donegal. The king and queen of the landry, sensing that something dreadful was going to happen, sent out the word that everyone should immediately vacate the landry. And so they did, in droves, spill out into the adjoining landries. Then when the landry was totally emptied of people and their animals, there was heard a deafening sound, which was heard everywhere across the island. And people who were standing on the landry boundary witnessed something never before witnessed, that of an entire landry being, as it were, dragged off out to sea and down under the waves. And with that happening, the sea rushed in its place and created a whole new shoreline, the likes of which we have to this day. And the children ever have been taught, down through the generations, to wholeheartedly love and appreciate their island home. Love and appreciate every last pebble on its seashore, every tree on its hillsides, every handful of soil in its fields, and every drop of water in its streams, lakes, and rivers. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay, way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, you will effortlessly move your thoughts in the world, as the flowing of waters, in hazes and mists ascending, in clouds moving along, and in rains, hail, sleet, and snow will they be, descending to flow in the way below, all the way to the welcoming sea. Remember whenever and wherever to bravely speak out on issues when you know quite well you ought to. Refuse to let yourself silence you.
the upcoming repeal here on the Isle of Ireland of the 8th Amendment of the Constitution Act 1983, which acknowledges the right to life of the unborn, with due regard to the equal right to life of the mother, is such an issue in need of your courageous response. Say no on Referendum Day, Friday 25th of May, to the making of a law that would fast-track us as individuals and as a people to inhumanity. The beloved lives in the wombs of tomorrows will to us in their own way be eternally grateful and ever so proud of us. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes, Monday to Friday. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseTDramascripts.com. It is truly an honor to have you listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus ba nacht leat.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.